Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. He normally joins us on Fridays, but a bit of an audible this week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us and for shifting things around with us a little bit this week. TD, before we get into some Titan stuff, tell me about what you've been doing this week down at the HBCU Combine in Louisiana.
Yeah. I spent Monday there at the Combine itself. This week they're working on practice leading up to the game, but it was a great opportunity to see some of the HBCU products, you know, the prospects there. There's some really good ones. You know, you got Xavier Smith from FAMU. He's the guy that has, you know, he drew a lot of praise from Steve Smith Sr., which is definitely a good thing. You know, when you talk about a former NFL guy, you know, looking at another one and saying, hey, this kid is legit. You got Kamari Everett, a tight end out of Bethune-Cookman. DeJuan Warren, they call him Nugget. He was Deion Sanders' first big-time commit, one of the top JUCO transfers. So, there's some good players down there. Just, you know, get an opportunity to see them and talk to them, and they're getting exposure. That was a really cool thing, and we did a Sports Center feature on those guys on Monday. So it was definitely a great experience.
Well, and you got to chat with Doug Williams while you were down there. Yeah. What was it like to interview him?
I tell you what, man, it was crazy because I walked over to him and I put my hand out and I'm like, Mr. Williams, to shake his hand. He was like, what's up, Teron? And it just took me back. I'm like, this dude knew me, you know what I mean? So it was really cool just to get to, you know, I remember being 11 years old and watching that Redskins team with him, you know, as the quarterback, being the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl and just being the first black quarterback in the Super Bowl. You know, like, it was just – it was really dope just to be able to talk to him and just take in the history that he has. You know what I mean? That was one of my highlights, man, of my career, I have to say.
That's really cool, man. That's really cool. TD, the AJ Brown, and I know we haven't played it yet on the show today. We're going to play it probably next segment. But the A.J. Brown podcast with Darren Bates, the Raw Room, right?
Yeah.
What's your takeaway from that? To summarize for people who aren't familiar with this, basically he said that, like, he, you know, gave the Eagles all the Titan stuff, which would totally you would expect, but that basically they don't change any of their stuff. And they had a good laugh at the Titans' expense. What's your takeaway from that?
Yeah, no, that Raw Room – debates and my guy Jalen, they do a great job, man. It's fun watching that podcast. That one right there was a good one, you know. And it's funny how you would think that maybe you would tweak it some, but as AJ said, everything was the same. Like, he knew exactly what calls that they were making, according to, you know, what Tannehill was saying and stuff like that, and he downloaded all that information to the defense. And it was funny, the thing that made me laugh was he was like, man, whatever y'all do, just don't hurt my dog, talking about Tannehill.
Pretty amazing stuff. Gracious. Teron Davenport with us here on Robbie and Rex Show. So TD, we're getting closer and closer to the beginning of free agency, the combine around the corner in the NFL as well. So some of the meat of what Vrabel and Carthon are going to have to do this offseason is about to start to take place. As you look at the Titans and the position that they're in right now, and we talked about this yesterday, Joe made the case of moving up to number one to try and go get Bryce Young. How much are, if you're Mike Vrabel or Rand Carthon, are you keeping an eye on the quarterback situation in your division? We know about Trevor Lawrence, but it's also likely that the Texans and the Colts are going to try to address the quarterback position this offseason as well. How much of an eye are you keeping on that if you're Vrabel and Carthon? Or are you worried about way more than that right now and you just can't have time to focus on that?
You know, you got to have all of that in the picture. And I think when you look at everything going on, they have to balance out, okay, is it Tannehill, is it C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, is it Anthony Richardson? Like, what do they want to do? And that's when you look at this whole thing and this, you got to figure out the now and the future. And I think the bottom line, Jacksonville that's the measuring stick right now, right? They won a division. They have the best quarterback right now. So you have to measure up to them. I feel that Tannehill is the best opportunity for them to do that. And then in the future, you know, there's other things that you'll have to do. But, yeah, they definitely are keeping that in mind. That's something that they're looking at. But the big picture is the whole roster, because you have a bunch of free agents that they have to figure out what to do with and who to bring in. There's more than just a quarterback position as far as problems that they have to solve.
Yeah, and I know, you know, we've talked about, I know the quarterback situation with it, which, as you've said, you know, next year, obviously Caleb Williams special, maybe Drake May too, but I think certainly, yeah, you know, those guys. I also feel like a lot of teams are thinking that way too, TD. So what about, so we did talk about this yesterday, and again, to me, it all comes down to what they believe. If they believe any of those guys are the guy, then to me, like, I think you are willing to sacrifice this roster if you can get the guy and start, you know, that rookie clock on the guy, if you believe he is a guy. But let me ask you about another possibility, because I'm really, really intrigued, and I really enjoyed covering him, and I think he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think he can be a good quarterback. I've kind of made the comparison to Kirk Cousins. Like, I don't know if he's going to be great, but I think he's going to be solid, and that's Hendon Hooker. What do you think of him, and, like, what do you think about, you know, the idea that even without him being able to physically show what he can do at the combine and everything, that he can help himself a lot?
You know what's really intriguing to me about him is it's going to be kind of a year of recovery for him with the ACL late. And then you compound that with the whole age thing, right? And so many times you hear these draft analysts say, hey, man, you can't draft him because he's 25 years old. Like, that's a nut. And then you add that to him having to sit out a year. But I think he's really intriguing. And I told Stillman this last Thursday, and, I mean, it's not breaking news. There was a point where this guy, he was the best player in college football for a stretch. So if you could get your hands on that, not in the first round, that's huge value. So I definitely feel that he brings a lot to the table. Obviously, you know, the scheme that he ran at Tennessee allowed him to be showcased like that. But, I mean, the guy's got pure talent. He's exactly what you want in a quarterback in this day and age. So I would take a risk on him for sure, because I think there's a huge, huge return on that investment.
TD, how important do you think it is for the Titans to make sure that David Long Jr. is back in the fold defensively next year?
Ooh, it's really important, because he's one guy. You watch defensive film of the Titans, right? When 51 is out there, you could feel him, right? You know, the energy he brings. I always say about David Long that he plays like he's literally on fire. So when you look at that, you look at how he brings an element to the blitz game as well as coverage. He's someone that is a critical part of that defense. So I think it's really important that they find a way to retain him. It's not often that you have players that other guys really feed off of, but he is one of them that you know, he's a source of energy for the guys on the field. So they really need to make sure that he's back.
I couldn't agree more. I've heard some people talking about, nah, you know, it's not that important a position, or, man, that guy, yeah, okay, that guy makes play. Yeah, I mean, if you're a playmaker, I don't, you call it whatever position you want, right? I mean, he makes plays, right? And he's a tremendously smart player. But let me ask you about another linebacker, because I have gone back and forth so much. I know we've talked about it, but I really struggle with Bud Dupree, because we have seen, when healthy, some good things from him. And we've seen those four guys together look overwhelming. But he hasn't been healthy that much. It's a huge cap hit. If you're Rand Carthon, what are you doing with Bud Dupree?
I'm going to him and seeing if we could work something out to lower that cap number. And you're right, when he's healthy and he's out there, and it doesn't always show up in the stat sheet, right? But if you watch the play, you look and you see he's one of the guys that they use on stunts and things like that. And then just his presence on the field, it opens things up for the other guys. And, I mean, look at the Bengals game, right? That I'm talking about the divisional game. I know they lost the game, but, you know, he had one sack in that? Or I mean, it may have been two, but, I mean, you look at what he brought to the table. Those guys all up front were eating. So it's a tough decision to make, but when he's on the field – you definitely, he's another one of those guys. You feel his presence. So they're going to need to find a way to get that number down, because I don't know that his cap number matches what he's bringing to the table as far as, overall impact. But he's definitely somebody that you want to have out there.
Well, TD, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you adjusting and being with us this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. A lot of great stuff from TD there. We'll react to that coming up next. We'll also get into the comments from A.J. Brown on the Raw Room podcast that he alluded to earlier in the segment with TD as well. Very interesting comments. We'll get into those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Teron Davenport, our man, for joining us in the last segment. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. And Joe, you brought up an interview that A.J. Brown did on the Raw Room podcast with Darren Bates and Jalen Collins. It was a very interesting interview, and in that interview, A.J. Brown discussed the matchup against the Titans this past season and what the preparation looked like for the matchup against the Titans. Here's what A.J. Brown had to say on the Raw Room podcast.
Oh, I gave every detail.
To
Philly, I'm talking about the cans, everything. Oh, I gave it all.
Who can't care?
I gave it all, bro. Like, it, cause they don't change nothing.
I'm literally.
I talked to the guy. I talked to one of the guys, defensive guy. It was like, hey, what does this mean? What does this mean? I said, bro, just send me a game film, bro. I'm listening to the TV copy. I'm flipping to the TV copy. Like you just said, 19-1, 18-1, can. I'm like, listen, bro. They canning it, bro. It's a run play or something like that, or a check. You know what I'm saying? Or it's a. Cause it's long gone, but I gave every little detail, the signals, the everything. They don't change none of that stuff. I'm like, bro, we ran the same play like a million times across the middle, bro. Like I give you that. I give you the route, bro. It's a bang gate and it's a readout on the backside. I'm giving you that. I told Slate, get inside. He's gonna run. Wait on it.
So that was AJ Brown on the Raw Room podcast saying that the Titans don't change anything. And he knew the cans, he knew the calls, and basically he told the defensive staff, just send me the game field, and I'll show you what they're going to do. What'd you make of those comments from A.J. Brown?
All right, first of all, driving to Preds yesterday, I was yelling in my car, okay?
Okay.
Listening to Chase, I interviewed Trevor Maddich. Now, I don't know. I only heard Chase ask a question, so I don't know if at any point he actually said this, but he asked Trevor Maddich, is this okay? Basically, like, is this okay, like, for A.J. Brown to be doing this? And Maddich's like, yes, what? I was like, what are you talking about, Chase? Yes, it's quarterback. You better do that. Hell yes. So what A.J. Brown did, you give him every little detail. Yes. They didn't sign you. Any intel you can share on your former teams with your new team, yes, that is 100% fair game. Okay? I had to yell at
Chase. It's Tennessee's fault they didn't change anything up.
Well, that's the thing. So, and I know that's fodder for people like, oh, Todd Downing. Now, again.
That's a Vrabel thing, too.
Exactly. If you're going to do that, let's talk about Mike Vrabel. However, like when you listen to that description, I mean, he's talking about a route they run all the time, right?
Yep.
So, it's predictable. They do it all the time. Did they really not change up any calls? It's funny. Think about this and the contrast of like the story about Aaron Rodgers, and how every week it's like, oh, we're doing this now. You know,
we change up literally everything.
Here, take some magic mushroom so you can know my signs.
Yes.
I think it's probably if you listen to his description, he's kind of talking about one route there, and it's like they do the same thing. They're predictable. That's fine. I don't know. He said
they don't change nothing. That's what he said.
I know he did. I'm just thinking maybe there's a little hyperbole in there, right? Like, I can't buy that the Titans are. If so, then I think the whole idea of firing coaches should be opened up again, okay? You can't do that. I have a hard time buying that they don't change signals, don't change calls, don't change anything, and that A.J. Brown was able to just tell them everything they were going to do. He's talking about one route that's predictable that they run to, and it probably is too predictable. And but you know what? Also on those routes, you always have counters too, and I don't know. I think it's probably a little bit overblown, but it's funny.
It's pretty funny. It was funny. Of course, we know what the result of the game was. Didn't go very well for the Titans.
That's true.
In that game. So, you know, obviously, a lot of that's because Philadelphia's a way better team than the Titans were this past year. But I did hear those comments earlier this morning after you brought it to my attention, and it was very interesting. Very interesting comments from A.J. Brown.
I mean, he's certainly not shying away yet from taking some shots at the Titans.
This is being honest. Sure. So many people probably do that. I give him credit for it because you know you're going to get backlash on that. To be like, yep, you know what? I gave him everything, every last bit.
I sometimes wonder if he likes the backlash.
I sometimes wonder that too. Now, again, you could be mad at A.J. Brown for this, I guess, if you want to. But like, if this is accurate, like, this is a Titans problem, right? Like, you got to change up your stuff, especially when you're going up against a guy that used to play for you and you're using the same signals.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, it's fair. If it's across the board that easy and that just totally year to year, same thing, it's not like the Titans don't know he's on their team. And plus, like Alex from Montreal said, this happens all the time. People get signed, you know, basically try to get every bit of information you can get. Who's the Titans quarterback the Dolphins signed before the 2018 opener? Is it
Luke Falk?
Luke Falk, yeah. Come in for a week. Let's talk about the Titans. I mean, all these teams know this. Everybody has somebody, right, that has left that could take stuff with them, and you're trying to get. So I just feel like if you really listen to the content of what he's saying, they don't change. He didn't. He's talking about one route.
I'm just saying he didn't change anything.
I know. I get it.
Didn't change anything.
It's more fun. It's more fun to just consider.
I can only go on what he said.
Coaches, total idiots.
I can only go on what he said. Dennis says that was just AJ being petty. Even if it's true, I have no issue with him giving the info. But going public with it is just pettiness. It's from Dennis on the text line.
I mean, you know, I guess, hey, AJ just asked a question. What
was
he supposed to do?
He was.
I'm with Michelle. Keep being honest. You know?
Oh, boy. I got a texter that says, after hearing that, I'm much more glad the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. There we go.
Uh-huh. Raymond and Franklin says, to Chase's defense, he was filling in for Jared. He was asking Jared-type questions. LOL.
Chase has responded. He said, I was just asking a question. Of course, it's okay. I was laughing. I thought it was great.
That's okay.
Chase.
All right. When I heard him ask a question, I got the tone that was like, oh, my gosh, how could you do this, AJ? I'm like, nah, what? Okay. All right, Chase. Well, I apologize.
Lance on the text line says, has anybody discussed place kicker next season? It's hard to go grab a beer with Fat Randy kicking. We got to get rid of the Fat
Be
Randy.
Be nice, Randy's people.
Fine. Yeah, Big Boned Randy. BBR.
Or just Randy.
How about a nice PBR for BBR? Can we do that?
Sure. In all seriousness, like, I do think they need to. Of the many things they need to address this offseason, I think kicker is one of them. Not that Randy Bullock was bad, but, like, you got to be able to, like, you know, line up
and
attempt a 56-yard field goal in the National Football League.
Right. The Bengals moved on from him, and they upgraded. He's been good enough. He's helped stabilize things for the Titans, but you need to be better than him. Yes, I agree. You have to be able to in the league anymore. I mean, shoot, nobody even kicks field goals inside the 20 anyway, so, like, you need someone who can kick a 55-yarder.
Yeah.
Someone says, I'm not surprised. Sounds like a hard-headed Mike Vrabel thing to do. Quote, you know what we're going to do, so now try and stop us mentality. Yeah. Again, I get the perception, and after watching this offense this year, just – pound into the brick wall. It feeds the perception.
I hope that's not
the case. I don't think that's Mike Vrabel. I really don't.
I hope that's not the case. Chris from Atlanta says, the one part of the interview that I think Titans fans are focusing on with AJ is the comment he made about Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. Sign him or I'm gone. This is from Chris from Atlanta on text line. He did talk about the Jalen Hurts contract part of this on the Raw Room podcast. And, you know, they were just talking about the deal. And he's like, you know, basically his message to the Eagles was, how I get this thing done, you need to get it done or trade me to wherever Jalen Hurts goes.
And then I'm going to be ripping your ass wherever I am next, baby.
Next. Just keep it coming. So
I like
an eventful appearance on the podcast yesterday from AJ Brown. I enjoy it.
Yeah, listen. Exactly. Like, let's celebrate people who say what they actually feel.
I agree. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Joe Rexroad in the questions chair today. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
This, we all have choices to make. This, like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit jaredcompaniesinc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Jared Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get your free estimate at jarrettcompaniesinc.com. Joe Rexroad in the questions chair today. Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
Sports or non-sports?
Let's do sports today.
Okay. You're David Poile.
Okay.
Which means you're the Preds GM as long as you want to be. You're the GM this summer. You get the exact same offer, and it is a clear best offer from one team, and the team says, here's this big haul, whatever it is, you know, pick, prospect, whatever, you know. And they say, we will give you this for either one of those guys, UC Soros or Yaroslav Askarov. Which one do you deal away?
So it's the same package.
Same exact thing.
Oh, man, that's tough because I can make arguments on both sides of it. I would probably deal Askarov because I know what Soros is at the NHL level. I think I know what Askarov is going to be. I think I do. But I've seen this before. If you're telling me the compensation is the exact same, then I'll deal Askarov and get Soros.
Okay.
Because I think Soros could play another 10 years. So unless you're talking about a 15-year rebuild.
Well, those happen sometimes.
They do. I mean, see the Buffalo Sabres.
I'm going to go. This is a tough one. But for sake of time, I'm going to go with dealing Soros because I do feel like they need to eventually get off these older guys as far as like the forwards, Duchesne, Johansson. Then I feel like by the time Askarov, you know, comes around and is really ready, you can have some younger guys coming up and kind of have a team around that type of core. So I will say Soros. Sorry, UC.
Also, part of my answer was, you could still sell off some other pieces and have Soros. You do, there's a cap floor you got to get to. You got to pay somebody. So I'll pay Soros.
That's a fair point. Basically, because of Askarov doing a bench press with the net, I'm gonna trade Soros. But, no, it really is really close. And you're right, I mean, the unknown is so undefeated, and I try to avoid getting into that. But I just feel like you may have a decade of an amazing goalie in Askarov, and I'm with Michelle. I think that the timeline, just the way things are looking right now, you may have a couple years of Soros' best play for naught because you have a bad team. So
very well could,
but it's very very close. All right, non-sports. I've been talking about some Girl Scout cookies this week. Well, I'm going to take them out of it. They're out of this. We already know Samoa's the best cookie in the world.
Exactly.
So what is? Fresh. Come on now.
The Beatles of cookies.
I agree.
Okay. Same.
The best. Okay. What is the best cookie in the world, non-Girl Scout? Can be a brand or can also just be a style of cookie.
Okay. You go ahead. I need some time to think about this.
So for me, three came to mind. Brand-wise, as a kid, I mean, Fudge Stripes. I don't know why, but my gosh.
They're good.
I mean, I like fudge stripes so much more than Oreos. It's not funny. But to me, the cookie is actually, it's chocolate chip with peanut butter chocolate chips with almonds in the cookie, okay? Mm-hmm. That to me is, and just a straight up chocolate chip is fine too, like a soft, warm one.
Yeah.
But oatmeal raisin right there, man. And it's right there. It's so close. Holy crap, I like cookies too much.
I would go, I have three that come to mind as well. I would go, one is the chocolate chip cookie when done right. I like mine like kind of in the middle between totally just gooey and rock hard. Like if you could find a middle ground there, which is hard to do with yep. a lot of people, I think that is the perfect cookie. So I will go with that number one.
Good call.
A snickerdoodle is at number two.
Mm.
That's a good cookie.
Snickerdoodle is pretty darn good. And if I'm at, like if I'm at the mall or something and I walk across a cookie store, which as we really begin to peel back the layers here on the program, I'm discovering I have no restraint whatsoever when it comes to cookies. So whether it's Girl Scout cookie or I'm just walking around, I'll find my way to the cookie store. But snickerdoodle is the go-to there. So chocolate chip at one, snickerdoodle at two. And I am an Oreo guy. I'll go Oreo at three.
Regular, double stuff?
Double
like
stuff.
Double stuff.
Yeah, yes. Double stuff. Okay. Double stuff. Right. I can put, you know, we're talking about sleeves. I can put down some Oreo sleeves too.
I mean, dipped in milk Oreos are pretty good.
Yes, they are. Okay, a bunch came to my mind, but these remind me of my childhood and when my mom buys them and whenever I'm home, I have absolutely zero self-control. It's the Keebler Elf fudge little sandwiches.
Oh, yep.
Oh, those things are, I mean.
They're evil.
They are evil. They're fantastic. Those, and this one's a little controversial. I've heard people who are like, these cookies are so gross, but the... what are these? The soft Loaf House, which are the sugar with the colored frosting, and they're always, for whatever holiday it is, they have the different color.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen those.
Yeah, yeah.
Love those. And then third would be just cookie dough.
Just the
not
cookie dough.
Cooked. I have zero self-control. I get the tub of it. And I remember as a kid, my mom would be like, you can only have one scoop. And I would be like, oh, it is the only one. And I would go back and steal more.
Yeah, you get like salmonella dough. From that stuff?
Yeah.
I've heard that, but it's worth it.
Oh, it's so worth it. Or the little already cut out ones. I'm like, oh, let me just pop those.
Zombie ant fungus.
Say, is there fungus in this cooking batter?
I will say, though, I've done it. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we've all done it. Come on.
I mean, cookie dough ice cream. I've had that, too.
Yes.
It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. Cookies and cream. We can go on and on.
There's
clearly, we have a cookie issue on the show.
We have a problem on this program.
All right, your Rand Carthon.
Okay.
Rand Carthon was at the game last night with his dad, Maurice Carthon, and Rand had a sweet Preds jersey.
He did.
With Carthon in the back. Okay, so let's just visit the scenario I threw out there earlier. You call the Bears about the number one pick, as everyone should. Just about everybody should. They say, yeah, first and second this year, Jeff Simmons. What do you say back?
I'm doing it. I am more on your side of the fence than I think some others are. Like I think Bryce Young is going to be pretty good. And I get the concerns over his lack of size and the build. I understand all that. But I also think that there are some things that he does – at an elite level. And I think when you have some of those traits, that's going to shine through at the NFL level. So I would do it. Now, I understand, like, for Titans fans out there that think you'd be nuts for trading away Jeffrey Simmons, I get it. I understand that. But the quarterback position is the most important position in professional sports. And if you find a way to get it and you find your guy, your version of Burrow or Allen, or I don't know if Mahomes is quite a fair thing to throw out there because you're talking about a guy that's going to end up being one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But you find your guy that can compete with those guys in the AFC, I think you got to do it. And if you can get it, well, then you've bought yourself a decade of competitiveness in the AFC. So while you may take a step back in the short term, if you figure it out at quarterback, long term, that's going to be way better for you and your franchise. So, yes, if that was it, first-round pick, second-round pick, Jeffrey Simmons, I would do it.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. I would do it, too. I mean, especially, to be honest, I thought Bryce Young should have won the Heisman this year. I know he was not going to because they lost the two games, but never lost because of him. I still think he was the best player in college football this year. I don't think his size is going to be all that big of a deal because of how special he is. if the Tennessee Titans were in the NFC, I would say no. But because they're in the AFC and all of these young quarterbacks have emerged specifically in the AFC. We've talked about Trevor Lawrence, Josh Allen, Lamar, all of them. You just can't be competitive in the AFC if you don't have your guy. And I think you're more likely to be able to find somebody, I don't want to say Jeffrey Simmons because he's so high at that level, but similar, than getting close to finding somebody similar to a Bryce Young. So I'll take Bryce Young.
So on the program today, we've established that we love cookies and hate Jeffrey Simmons. We're all getting rid of Jeffrey Simmons.
We love you, Big Jeff.
I'm very surprised that's across the board unanimous. Moving Jeff Simmons for, like, what do you? That's a good one for a poll. Well, except it's just hard to explain the whole thing in a Twitter poll.
It is.
No, but look, I mean, yeah, we all agree, you know. But boy, that's a price too. All right, non-sports. Last one. Okay, I had yesterday at the deli. I will not name no free ads. I had an amazing Cuban, and yeah. I like a really good Cuban sandwich with.
I was gonna say sandwich or cigar, but yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's all about the. All about the sandwich. The right with the two kinds of pork and the perfect type of mustard with the pickles, and you have the right mix. A Cuban to me is an amazing sandwich. And it made me think of this question. What's the sandwich you'll try at as many places as possible to find the best version of that sandwich?
You may think I'm nuts on this. Turkey, bacon, cheddar. Turkey, bacon, cheddar. Now, there is a sandwich place around here that does it frequently, which is where I first came across it. But I have found ways in other sandwich establishments to create it myself, the turkey bacon cheddar.
Okay.
And it's pretty darn good. Like, it's...
I mean, as they say,
it doesn't miss, as the kids say. Okay. It doesn't miss. So, turkey bacon cheddar is my go-to.
Okay.
Okay, so if my mom or stepdad Dan are listening, they know that I'm an absolute psycho when it comes to turkey clubs. And there is one spot at home, it's our Malta Diner, the best turkey club ever. Just turkey, bacon, lettuce, tomato, mayo, toasted, cut in the triangles, you know, the three layer. Basically any restaurant I go to, if there's a turkey club on the menu, I give it a 97% chance that I order it. If I could only eat one thing for the rest of my life, it's a turkey club. So I'm really happy that you asked this question, Rex Road, because my obsession with turkey clubs, I need like a sponsorship by like Boar's Head or something, because turkey clubs, elite, never miss, as Robbie said.
You guys are bland AF.
What?
What are you doing?
No, I mean, I love those sandwiches too. Well, it's the Cuban or the Reuben. Like a Reuben.
What's the difference?
You're from New York. You know what a Reuben is?
No, I know what a Reuben is, but I don't know what a Cuban is.
Oh, really?
No, I've never had a Cuban.
So a Cuban is, so basically it's like, it's a certain kind of like roast pork and then like ham usually. So it's two kinds of pork, pickles and mustard and cheese, but there's different types of all those things that people use.
I'm telling you. Pickles. Can't do it.
Yeah, see, that's a thing. That's a huge part of it. So if you don't like those, then yeah. But what about a Reuben, though?
Oh, I love a Reuben. Yeah. Thousand Island dressing in there? Oh, delicious.
Right. A Russian dressing or the right mix of the sauerkraut. I mean, that's a deli staple. So it's one of those two, and I try to get a Reuben all over the place too. But I like those sandwiches too.
I know what I'm having for lunch today.
A Reuben?
No, a turkey club.
Cuban?
Oh, okay. I just got hungry.
Got a lot of different sandwich votes. Philly cheesesteak, patty melt. Got some votes for Reuben. French dip sandwich is on here.
Yeah.
Wait, are you guys
a good
more
French
of a,
dip is pretty
a hot
strong.
Or cold sandwich when you want a deli sandwich?
So hot. A Cuban is hot.
Yes.
And obviously so is a Reuben. But, you know, I mean, I love a good turkey club, too. A French dip is hot, too. I guess I'm more of a hot sandwich person.
Toast that thing up, man. Let's get it hot.
Patty melt's strong.
It's pretty good.
And I will say, by the way, you know, because I am sort of, you know, the self-proclaimed chef of our family, but the only thing that the in-laws and the extended family, they ask for my grilled cheese. They actually are like, please make your grilled cheese. So, and sometimes throw a little bacon in there, sometimes throw other meat. You always have to have two types of cheese and about a pound of butter.
There we go. This has been The Choice Is Yours. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 8:30. Got a lot of your thoughts on the text lines as it relates to sandwiches. So A lot of sandwich talk on the program here today. We'll get into the Titans. Take more of your thoughts on those comments from A.J. Brown. Got more of those to get to coming up next. We'll also get back into the Preds. Any way you want to take it in our final segment up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. I have a pair of tickets to give away before you can buy them to see Depeche Mode coming up on Thursday, October 19th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Depeche Mode coming up on Thursday, October 19th, 615-737-1025. They're asking the question right now on ESPN, Joe, is Bryce Young too small to play in the NFL? That is going to be a question on repeat for the next couple of months before the NFL draft takes place.
Yeah, and it's a totally fair question. And like you said yesterday or the day before, the injury, the fact that he's been banged up is definitely concerning. And not that there aren't tons and tons of players who get hurt somewhere along the way in college football and, you know, are fine and durable in the NFL. But you would just like to see Bryce Young have, like, basically no injury history. Well, he already has this slight frame. So it's a gamble. But you know what? It's a gamble I'd be willing to take, and I think someone's going to be happy when they draft him. That's probably going to be the Texans or the Colts.
I am interested from, like, the Texans' point of view after Lovie Smith – gave you the double bird on the way out of the door by winning that last game and ruining your draft pick. Like, are they comfortable enough sitting there at two? Like, do they love one guy at quarterback so much more than another that they're willing to move up and go get the number one pick? I mean, they may have to. Like, if they want Bryce Young, they might have to trade up to go get him. Because I would imagine whether it's the Colts or the Raiders or whoever it would be, somebody's going to try to make a move up to number one to go get him. Like, if you're the Texans, I mean, obviously you got the best draft pick to sit there and offer the Bears with number two. They just moved down one spot there. But I do wonder what that package would look like if you're the Texans trying to move up to go get number one and whether or not they'll have to do it.
Right. It's hard to believe that you're going to end up with a valuation where it's like, yeah, we're happy with, you know, this guy or that guy, you know. But, and look, it could be different. Maybe it isn't Bryce Young. I feel like, and as I talked about yesterday, you know, we have the athletic mock draft of writers, which was very entertaining, and I failed miserably. But think about the possibility of the Bears getting out of, you know, let's say, I don't know, the Colts
yeah.
are the ones who come in and say, we want Bryce Young, boom, and the Bears move to there, and the Bears are there, and they can parlay into that more and move out of there again, you know? Bears could make a killing off this because of Lovie.
They could. And it's also like, let's say that happens and the Colts move up to number one. And then you have the Colts picking at one and the Texans picking at two. And that's what we talked about with TD. Like, if you're the Titans, like part of your eye has to be on, all right, what are they doing at quarterback? Because you've got Trevor Lawrence in the division and you could end up with a Bryce Young, CJ Stroud combo in the AFC South after the draft is all said and done. And there you are with Tannehill, which, again, you'll be fine with Tannehill next year. He's a good player as long as he stays healthy. But eventually you got to figure out the quarterback of the future.
Right. So if you want to get in there and you'd like to get Bryce Young or whoever you think is number one, you want to get to number one.
Yeah.
And you want to prevent one of them from also from getting that, you know, from 11, that's where, like, it's just, I mean, you've got to make up the difference for the Bears. You're asking them to go down to 11 now. So you've got to come with something significant. Look, I don't think this is going to happen. You know, I think the Titans are probably going to pick at 11. But that's why this process, which, by the way, is heating up. And, a week from now, it'll be all full-on combine. I mean, this is where you're trying to figure out if it's worth it to try.
Wes from Hermitage on the text line says, are there any Alabama quarterbacks that have really been stellar in the NFL from Saban? I don't count Hurts. I'm not sold on Young. I think he'll be okay, but
but not MVP or elite level. In my opinion, I think Hendon Hooker could be just as good, and I don't like him that much either. Maybe I'm just stuck on Caleb Williams. This from Wes from Hermitage on the text line.
Well, Tua, I think we saw this year before the concussions that Tua is a special talent. I've always thought that. He certainly was in college. I think Tua, if he can get past this and be healthy, I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. Is he going to be great, top shelf? I don't know about that, but he's good. I don't know about Mac Jones. I mean, I don't know. They got issues on offense.
They do.
So, but also he seems like he cries an awful lot on the sideline, which, again, if you're Tom Brady, that's celebrated. But if you're Mac Jones, it looks like a flaw.
I don't know how you don't count Jalen Hurts, though. I mean, he spent more time in Alabama than he did at Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah, like Jalen.
I realize it's not where he finished, but, I mean, he was – played a lot of games for Alabama.
Exactly. Like, Ohio State can't claim Joe Burrow. Like, right. That he didn't play for you. But, yes, Alabama, still Jalen Hurts still played more football and did more good things at Alabama. Now, he did reach another level as a player under Lincoln Riley as Oklahoma, and I think that got him the NFL. But, yeah, I think Alabama counts for him.
David from Nashville says, do we know for a fact that the Bears won't blow up the draft and they take Bryce Young?
We do not know for a fact.
We do not know for a fact.
There's some people calling for that. So – that'd be something else. If that's the case, who's
honestly though, if you're
all over trading to get Justin Fields?
If you're the Titans and it's not you getting him, like that's best case scenario for you if you're the Titans.
Yes.
Is for the Bears to just go ahead and pick a quarterback.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then now one of your division rivals doesn't have one of those guys.
Unless they trade for Justin Fields, but yeah.
That's true.
So, I mean, it's fascinating the way that could play out. Like, I think if I had to put a percentage chance on it, and I'd put it at 90-something percent that Justin Fields is staying around in Chicago.
I would, too.
And is the quarterback. But there's always – I think it's smart from their standpoint, even if deep down, like, you're convinced that Justin Fields is your guy, I think it's smart to act like it, at least leave it out there that possibility is there, because maybe that cranks that value on up a little bit.
I mean, it could be – yeah. It could be intense. And, again, it's like after all of this stuff – is there one quarterback who is clearly, because some years it is. Like Trevor Lawrence that year, everybody knew like he was going to be the number one pick. Although apparently some Jets people were arguing for Zach Wilson over him. Woo!
I mean, Joe Burrow had the playbook for the Bengals before he got drafted. So.
Right. But that's the thing. But in that year, you knew who it was, and you knew that they were going to take him at one.
Right.
This year is interesting. If there is a clear one that maybe like emerges through all this stuff or just I don't know. A lot of this information is already known by the teams, right? I mean, they've been grinding the film. But if that's the case, the Bears could seriously make a killing.
Yeah.
Because the bidding war for that one spot could be, I mean, 5, 6, 7 teams could be in on that.
If they think that Bryce Young's that guy. Or CJ Stroud or whoever.
They could essentially have two teams trade up and still be at the fourth overall pick, the Bears.
They could. Yeah, that could happen.
Yeah.
Now, also, like if you're the Bears, you're trying to also build a team around Justin Fields if you decide to keep him. Like, you also don't want to trade down too far because you need to get some elite players on that roster. That sucks.
But if you have just a fleet of picks,
I know.
In this league,
you can parlay those into a lot of things.
Especially the top 3-round picks, a bunch of them. Yeah. If you choose well, you change your team and chase the Lions. Who knows? Let's see if we can get in the chase.
Well, they sure as heck won't be chasing the Packers.
Oh, boy.
Unless Aaron Rodgers comes out of the dark with a big old Green Bay on his chest.
By the way,
I still think the Packers are better than the Bears with Jordan Love at quarterback, but just is what it
is. I like this. We need another wager. By the way, has Aaron Rodgers come out of the room yet?
Haven't heard anything on the Rodgers front. So I don't know
if
he's still.
So there's no McAfee this week.
That was Tuesday, so now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's like marinating in the darkness or if he's out.
Has anybody checked on him? I mean, make sure he's okay.
I don't know.
God. Poor guy.
He's like, has it been 4 days yet? Are we done yet? There's no concept of how much time has passed by.
Yeah, I would think that the concept of time would get a little warped in there. Your percentage chance right now that he's a Green Bay Packers quarterback next year?
I'll go 42%. Less than half.
That's a pretty healthy percentage still.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's still, I mean, he's under contract, so it's still.
Yeah, there is that.
So it's still, you know, somewhat likely that he's back, but I think there's serious smoke to a trade there, so we'll see what happens. This has been Robbie and Rexroth. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.